Hello, my name is Carol Sippen, and I'm going to be presenting some findings from a pilot study that we conducted with Vista Community Clinic in San Diego County, in the northern part of San Diego County, with male Mixteco migrant laborers. Okay, I have no disclosures. And I would like to acknowledge our collaborators, Vista Community Clinic. Fernando Sonudo is here today. And we also had assistance from Jose Gonzalez of FIA. Without his help, this would not have been possible. And we also had assistance from another community organization, COSIO. This was funded by the University-wide AIDS Research Program. Now, why study Mixtecos? They are among the largest indigenous groups of Mexican migrant laborers working in the U.S. and in Mexican agricultural areas. They've been migrating for quite a number of years in Mexico doing agricultural work, and since the 80s they have been coming to the U.S. in search of additional economic benefit because of how things were going so poorly for them and their communities in Oaxaca. The majority of Mixtecos come from Oaxaca, and as was reported earlier, it's one of the states that has reported an increase in numbers of cases, which have been traced back to a history of having worked or having a partner that worked in the U.S. So there was anecdotal information as well as epidemiological data from Mexico that indicated potential for HIV acquisition when these migrant laborers come to the U.S. So the purpose of this study was to start to estimate the prevalence of HIV, some of the behavioral risks, as well as the social determinants for risk practices among these migrant workers. And also, then we looked for this analysis, we looked at marital status and the presence of a spouse or steady partner as a determinant of HIV-related risk behaviors. So the hypothesis was that risk behaviors would vary by marital status and by the presence of a sexual partner, and that traveling with a sexual partner could be considered protective, so that risk behaviors would be lower among those with a sexual partner present. And in the previous presentations today, you've heard some of the background related to that. So this was a cross-sectional survey design, and it was based on a behavioral ecological model. So we collected a great deal of data on social determinants and social contingencies related to engaging in sexual behavior, risk behavior, as well as protective behaviors. This theory looks at social, cultural, and environmental factors as determinants of individual behavior. Our inclusion criteria were that they needed to be male and at least 18 years of age. They were born in Mexico and self-identified as Mixteco, and they either had to speak Spanish or Mixteco Bajo. And that's because our interviewers that we had spoke Mixteco Bajo. We used an interviewer-administered questionnaire as well as OraSure HIV antibody tests. 98% of our data were collected in the months of March through June of 2005. And we accessed the sample at 19 venues, which included many different sites, churches, fields, camps, and street corners that were identified by key informants as places where we could find Mixtecos. The study was introduced to everyone that was present at the venue, and those who were interested then were screened for eligibility, and all of those who were interested in participating and who qualified were interviewed. And we kept returning to the same site until everyone had been interviewed. We had over a third of the interviews conducted by Mixtecos, and the remainder were interviewed by native Spanish speaker males. And there was a separate consent used for HIV testing. So we ended up studying 285 men in North San Diego County. The ages range from 18 to 70 years, but at least half of them were 28 years of age and younger. And 90% of them came from the state of Oaxaca. 20% had no schooling, and only 22% had completed sixth grade. There was a large range in terms of how long they had been coming to the United States. So we had people that had been coming for less than a year, or people who had been here for off and on for 45 years. But the median length of stay or length of time worked in the U.S. was 4 years. And in terms of when they last left their community of origin, we had quite a range again, but the median was actually less than a year, and the mean was about 2 years. And we're finding that the length of stay in the U.S. is becoming longer the more difficult it is to cross the border and the more that it costs to get assistance to cross the border. So this group in all had worked in 22 Mexican states and 19 U.S. states, so they represented quite a bit of migration for work, and almost 90% of them had worked in agriculture, although their current employment was only about a quarter of them that were still engaged in agriculture, although about another quarter were involved in landscaping. And they reported having documents, although it was a very low rate, and we didn't ask them if they were legal documents. We just asked them if they had documents. So 12% of them said that they had papers that allowed them to cross, and only 13% had papers that allowed them to work. It was interesting to ask them to find out what they plan to do for their long-term plans, and almost 60% of them plan to return to live in Oaxaca. Only less than a quarter wanted to stay in the U.S. on a long-term basis. So if we look at the HIV and STD results, it was a very good rate of uptake for the HIV tests. About 98% of them followed through and agreed to have a test. And only one person tested positive. That individual actually already knew that he was positive. There was another individual that also said that he was positive, but he refused to be tested again. There were 62 that reported that they had been tested before, and 7 of them had not returned for their last test results, so they couldn't report what their status was. Another 8 of them refused to answer questions about HIV testing history, and so it may be that there were problems with fear of disclosure and that they actually had been tested and were positive. And then in terms of self-reported STDs, only 6% reported a history of an STD diagnosis. So what we did was we looked at the men that we studied and divided them into 3 groups. They were either married or in a union civil with a partner present with them in San Diego, or they were married or in a relationship with a partner who was not present in San Diego, and then they were either not married or not in a committed relationship. So these are the 3 groups that we looked at. In the first group where the partner was present, we had almost 29% of them reporting that they had more than 5 sexual partners or equal to 5 sexual partners in the last 5 years. And about 90% of those who came with a partner reported that they'd had sex since they had come to San Diego. So I guess there were some married individuals that weren't reporting it or hadn't been here long enough. And then when you look at, if we just look at the subset who reported being sexually active, then our sample was reduced in size, and we look at a sample of 32 for those with a partner present, 27 for the partner not present, and then 32 for the individuals who are not married or not in a committed relationship. And we did find some differences among the groups, but if you just look at the rates of behavior that are reported, we have individuals reporting sex with male partners, We have vaginal or anal sex with injection drug users reported. Sex for money, food, or drugs is quite a large proportion of those who are sexually active have reported that. In terms of sex with a female sex worker, those who were married or in a union civil reported having sex with a sex worker the most often out of the three groups. And this was statistically significant. In terms of having sex with female sex workers, it was more common. There had been sex with more female sex workers among those who were in a committed relationship, but the partner was not present. And then we have individuals reporting that they have vaginal sex with non-female sex workers and that were casual partners. So even among those that reported having their partner with them, there were still 12% that were reporting having sex with casual partners. In terms of looking at condom use, those who reported having their partner present for having vaginal sex, they had the highest rates of never using a condom. And this is probably related to being in a committed relationship, and if they are primarily having sex with their partner, then they would never be using a condom. And when you look at those who reported not being with their partner, you have almost 60% of them reporting that they always use condoms. Okay, when you look at the number of sex partners that they've had since arriving in San Diego, and I just wanted to add that these questions are about the last 12 months. So it's when they're in San Diego and it's within the last 12 months. You see that those that where their partner is present, there are individuals who are reporting having at least three partners. And those that have a partner who is not present, there's a higher proportion of those who have multiple partners. In terms of having anal sex with females, there were higher rates reported for anal sex with females among those who reported having a partner present. And never using a condom when they have anal sex with females, the rate was highest among those who had their partner present. So what we are going to need to do is look at the data and see who it is that they're reporting having anal sex with, if it's something that's their steady partner or if this is the behavior they're engaging in with their casual partners. In terms of going to prostitution houses for sex partners, the highest rates were among those who were married or in a committed relationship and their partner was not present. So we had among those who were sexually active, who had a partner at home, almost 41% of them reported going to prostitution houses. And in terms of having a sex worker brought to them in the field, there is two-thirds of them reported that. And what was interesting, when you look at if their friends encouraged them to have sex with a sex worker, the men who had a partner that were present reported that their friends were more encouraging of them to have sex with sex workers. Okay, so what we need to do now is look at the data with some caution because it's a small sample. It was not a representative sample necessarily, although we did study everyone that we were able to contact in that period of time. And the HIV rates appear low, but risk behaviors are evident. So that is justification for continuing in this line of work. One thing that we'll be looking at is the opportunity for interventions with men who are here without their partners and preventing risk behavior in that group in particular. And it may be that those that are without their spouse are at greater risk, and those with a present spouse had a lower risk. One thing that we found was with the first group where they have they're married but their partner is not present, their partner was present. They had greater encouragement to have sex with sex workers, higher rates of anal sex with females, and higher rates of never using condoms for anal sex with females. Then in the group that was here with their partner, we also found that some of those higher, we're going to be looking to see if some of those higher than expected sexual risks are due to separation from their spouse when their spouse returns to Mexico, for example, or if they had a change in their relationship after coming to San Diego. So maybe they came together, but at some time there was a change in that relationship and they were no longer together. And so we're going to be doing some more analysis of these data and continuing to work towards reducing the risk behaviors in this group. And one thing I wanted to add was looking at studies of groups that are migrating to the U.S., we're conducting a study where we're going to be looking at 3,500 individuals that are migrating north and south from the U.S. to Mexico and vice versa, as well as internal migrants who come up to the northern Mexican border. And this is a follow-up study to a pilot that we conducted where we studied 1,000 border crossers, or 1,200 border crossers. 1,000 of them agreed to be tested, and there were no positive individuals in that sample of 1,000. So this time we're going to be looking at 3,500, and we use a sampling procedure that's used by the Mexican government for the EMIF survey. So it's a very representative sample, and they're sampled at different at deportation points. They're sampled at bus stations and at airports and other sites as well. So thank you. I don't know if any. Since I'm the last one, I'll ask if there's any questions for anyone. Yes.
And then for doing the analysis, I combined the two variables. And then asked people who were married foreign as a women if they had a partner living with them or not.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I work with a UCSD. I'm a medical student.
Oh, okay.
And we do a border health project in the Del Mar Canyon.
Uh-huh.
And we go there once a quarter, sometimes twice a quarter. And we do physical exams. We check for diabetes and cholesterol. We've never checked for HIV, obviously, because we don't have the resources to actually, once they are diagnosed, to see them, because we're just students and we can only go a couple times a year. So I was wondering if some of them met you, and a lot of them do, are mixtecos. That's what we've found, because we'll end up trying to interview them and we have to have a Spanish translator and then a lot of the patients there. So we're seeing a decrease in women too that are in the group now.
Right.
But they just keep getting moved and moved and moved because everyone in that canyon area, that the Americans that live there,
they've
been
them,
really pushing them out, harassing them.
Right.
Very, very, very interesting. So you work with the VISTA?
Well, I work at the Center for Behavioral Epidemiology and Community Health at San Diego State.
Okay. And then VISTA clinic?
Yeah, they were they were collaborating on a study.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done other studies with them. Not yet. There will be.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Is there a girl?
My name is Marika.
Okay.
I went on one of those.
Well, we write grants, we try to get funding, but yeah, if, I mean, do you know about other opportunities? It was a smaller sample, but it was San Quintin is a place where a lot of Ixtecos go for agricultural work on the Mexican side of the border. And the rates, the behaviors that were recorded there. Hi, I'm so happy to have you in front of me. Thank you. And the rates of risk behavior were even lower. Although it was. Okay. Good. Thank you for the encouragement.
They do a lot of broad ranging.
That's with Dr. McCutcheon or
So are you a program officer or what?
I'm a program manager for
Thank you. I'll look forward to your email. Okay, so now what?